In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. I'm glad you're joining us today. If you're a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I hope we'll become a part of your regular conservative talk radio addiction, because every week we'll help you keep an eye on big government. If you're a regular listener of iSpy, I'm sure that will come as no great surprise to you that a government agency lied. Given that, I'm also sure that it will not come as a great surprise that the EPA was the agency that was doing the lying. The EPA has been a frequent subject here on the iSpy radio show because there are very few agencies that exemplify big government and big government run amok than the EPA. Gone, long gone, are the days when the Environmental Protection Agency actually protected the environment, unless you take protection in the same sense that the mafia takes it. Nowadays, they are the Environmental Preemptive Agency, taking preemptive action based on speculative, agenda-driven science to try to seize control of the air, the water, and I mean all water, even private wells, which in turn will give them control of all lands, essentially seizing governmental control of the entire environment, and then dole it out piecemeal. Sadly, not enough of our representatives in Congress get this, and there are precious few organizations that also understand what the EPA is doing. But thankfully, the Southeastern Legal Foundation does get it, and they struck a blow to the unprecedented power grab by the EPA, winning a victory at the Supreme Court in June of 2014 when the EPA attempted to rewrite the Clean Air Act. And their executive director, Shannon Gessling, is joining us by phone. Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, sadly, despite your victory there at the Supreme Court, the EPA and the Obama administration just doesn't seem to get it. So we want to talk to you today about a recent ruling about the EPA lying and about your own filing by the Southeastern Legal Foundation in February of this year. And that'll really be the framework for our show. But that begs larger questions, like what is Congress doing about all this and why does no one ever seem to get punished for wrongdoing? But let's start with a recent ruling. A judge issued a ruling on March 2nd that essentially, quote, warned the Environmental Protection Agency not to discriminate against conservative groups and how it responds to open records requests. So what was going on here? And this is by the Landmark Legal Foundation. Why did the judge issue this?
Well, sure. In August of 2012, a like-minded organization, Landmark Legal Foundation, filed a Freedom of Information Act request, which we will refer to as FOIA from here on out, a FOIA request that was described by the court as handled clumsily. I would be a bit more aggressive in my assessment because of how we were treated. I believe that Landmark was treated similarly. They denied the fee waiver. EPA denied the fee waiver. EPA denied expedited review. They also did a very poor job based on the judge's finding of actually doing a search for the requested records. It resulted in the Landmark Legal Foundation not getting any of the documents or such a small percentage of the documents that they ended up filing suit, because you have to go through an appeals process first, but then once you do the entire appeals process, it's considered what's called ripe for judicial review. They filed their lawsuit in the D.C. In the D.C. court, the District Court of the District of Columbia, and that's where this came from. And in fact, the order comes from, Mark, a motion by Landmark for what's called spoliation sanctions against the EPA. Basically, that they handled it in such a poor way that the documents that Landmark really wanted end up either disappearing or being spoiled. And so they wanted basically the EPA to be punished, frankly. And that is where the judge gets this 25-page memorandum opinion talking about what they're being asked to do and really providing the background and history of the case.
So, and within that ruling that he put out there, this opinion, and of course we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com if people want to download that, just look for today's show. But within that, he basically said that they are lying and hiding the ball, so to speak, and it appeared to him to be mainly incompetence. And so because of that, the judge did not actually sanction them as Landmark asked him to. But one article called this a legal spanking. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would absolutely agree with the legal spanking. This is the spanking without regret and without consequences beyond having the pain of it. And that's why this is a great memorandum opinion, but it also doesn't have any teeth except to send a message to Congress and potentially the executive branch on this issue. So it basically, the court says that it doesn't have the authority to do what Landmark asked it to do.
Okay? So that begs the question then, who does have the authority?
Exactly. I want you to ask me that question after I tell you. But what the judge then did is said, look, they handled it clumsily. I think there's a strong argument, but I can't really get there with what you've given me that they intentionally did this. EPA is treating the asker as if they're the enemy. He talks about the shoddy nature of the initial search. He talks about the misinformation, the lying. But he then comes down to, I just don't have the authority to do what you want me to do, but he does have the authority to address attorney's fees. Now, if I can answer that earlier part of your question, which is, who has the authority to do what, this is very interesting. Not to go too far down with you, but I'm going to drag you down a little bit into the weeds, that the FOIA Act was first passed in direct response to Watergate. And basically Congress said, you, the American people, every citizen, every organization, it doesn't matter what your affiliation is, you have a right to know what's going on in the government. You have a right to have transparency, and we're going to pass this. And it is considered, for all intents and purposes, it is considered a comprehensive remedial scheme. And so you have to work within the confines of FOIA. And this is where wrongdoers, employees of the federal government that wrong the asker by not giving them what they want, et cetera, the consequences are you could have a referral from the judge to your employer agency to go through a process that would have consequences, a mark in your file, having time off without pay, all the way up to like 6 months without pay. But Mark, ask me, go ahead. Please ask me how many times in the history
exactly.
of the 40 years of FOIA has a judge ever referred an employee of the federal government to that process?
I'm going to hazard a guess on your question and say I'm going to guess that we're probably zero.
You were so close. It was one. One time. So the comprehensive remedial scheme, in my opinion, is deficient because it fails to have consequences for the wrongful behavior or the arguably illegal behavior. In other words, acting contrary to the FOIA.
Yeah.
And that is why when you say who can do anything about it, you know me, I'm not a big fan of laws. I say repeal lots of the laws that have been passed. But under these circumstances, this should be reviewed by Congress so that they can address either fixing the comprehensive remedial scheme so there's actual remedy for wrongdoing and remedy for the victims of the wrongdoing, like us, or include by reference, amend FOIA to say you have a right to have a claim under Section 1983 discrimination and FOIA will no longer be considered a comprehensive remedial scheme. You get to file these types of cases.
Yeah, this is like having speeding ticket laws where you never actually issued a ticket. They just pull you over and say, you shouldn't be speeding so much, but I'm going to let you go anyway. All right, time for a quick break here. Stay with us. We're just getting started with Shannon Gessling, Executive Director and Chief Legal Counsel for Southeastern Legal Foundation, talking about FOIA. And coming up, we'll be talking about their own lawsuit. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Shannon Gessling. In our last segment, we were discussing a recent ruling by a judge against the EPA and their game of hide the ball by dodging FOIA requests. FOIA is Freedom of Information Act. And certainly it is no the EPA's ability to play hide the ball is not limited to the Landmark Legal Foundation. And Southeastern Legal Foundation has also experienced the EPA trying to hide and obfuscate. And so let's talk to you a little bit about what you guys are doing. And you guys just filed something early last month, I believe, in terms of, once again, the EPA not learning their lesson and again, just trying to discriminate against conservative groups and how it responds to these open records requests. So talk to us a little bit about what you guys filed.
Yes, we had filed three separate FOIA requests, starting in 2009, then another in 2010, and then another in 2014. And we received stall, delay. I mean, we were denied expedited consideration. We were denied waiver. When they did produce documents in one of our requests, it was such a small amount of the records to which we were entitled. It was ridiculous, but then ridiculous became absurd because 96% of the documents on the pages were redacted. So we received over 3,200 documents. That's approximately 5,200 pages, and 96% was redacted. You can see on our website, Mark, that the blacked out, the stacks of blacked out pages, to the point that it was incomprehensible. And we fought, we continued to go through the process with EPA.
So were you guys like asking about UFOs or something? I mean, why? I mean, this is the EPA grabbing eggs.
You would think so. I mean, what exactly are they hiding? The focus of our request was the climate change, development of the climate change policy, why they announced the endangerment finding, 10 days before the president went to Copenhagen, many, many things that really spoke to us, and it had to do with our litigation, but really the reason we wanted it is because part of our job, part of our mission is to collect information from the government, analyze it, and communicate that information and analysis to the public. Well, you can't communicate information if they won't give you the data, give you the documents. So yeah. They've just, refused to give us the information. And in fact, it becomes, we go from, the ridiculous to the sublime, because the last FOIA request, guys, that we asked for, I don't mean to laugh, but we were asking for something that you don't have to ask for in FOIA. It is literally the data that's used to produce the annual reports for each agency. Every agency is mandated by Congress to produce an annual report that tells the public about the FOIA requests and how they were handled. And then it specifically says you must provide the underlying data for your report to any person who asks. It's not a question. It's no more you must provide. And EPA has refused to provide it. So we were forced to file our lawsuit in the district court here in Georgia. And all three of the requests are in play, and we are waiting for the answer from the EPA. And we filed all 5,200 documents with the court.
Okay, so let's talk about these blacked out documents for a little bit, because I think this is maybe interesting. So let's say that as part of your lawsuit, you show the judge there that 96% of this document has been pulled out. Can the judge ever order, I want to see the original and see if you guys were blacking things out that really were private or really were national security secrets or something like that, and then do a side-by-side comparison. Does a judge ever do anything like that?
As a matter of fact, Mark, that's an excellent question, because the judge does have to do exactly that, which means 5,200 pages that were produced will have to be produced in clean version, and there will be what's called an in-camera inspection by the court. So the court will look at them and will look at the exceptions that are claimed. As you mentioned, one of them is national security. Then you have a deliberative document. But deliberative documents are usually only deliberative before a decision is made. Once a decision is made, you can see deliberations. It's only in the process of deliberations that you're not supposed to see them. And so, yes, the answer is yes to your question. But all the documents that we didn't get, we are going to ask to be produced. Because, like I said, we received 5,200 is a very small percentage of the documents that we believe are out there if they did a right search. And I return to Judge Lamberth's opinion that, he said it was a clumsy search. Excuse me. I say it's an intentional non-search. I'm looking, but I can't find them because they're sitting right in front of me.
It's kind of like a kid with their eyes closed. Oh, I can't see it. I can't see it. So I'm looking here. This is a summary of Bill S. 2520. This is from the 113th Congress of 2013-2014. And this has to do with a so-called FOIA Improvement Act of 2014. And within that, it talks about prohibiting an agency from withholding information requested under FOIA unless the agency reasonably foresees a specific identifiable harm to an interest protected by a FOIA exemption. So who determines that reasonable blockage of things? Because it seems to me that's wickedly open for interpretation.
It is open. I agree. I think that there's a goal. I hate to go into the minds of, you know, whoever dropped that bill, but I think that there's a goal to try to remedy some of this. But if the judgment still is in the hands of the agency, Southeastern Legal Foundation is still going to have its problems with this administration, and we're not going to get the documents. But at least what they're trying to do is kind of make the standard reasonableness so that when it goes in front of a judge, that the judge will be able to assess whether the evaluation and use of the exemption was reasonable. I kind of go a little bit further, as you might imagine. My theory is that this is my government. This is my tax dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm entitled to know what's going on.
Well,
and unless it's going to be a national security problem, give me my stuff.
Yeah, especially from the most transparent administration in history. You'd think they'd be more than happy to get you those things. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right here. Got a good question for you coming up, a little bit more about those blacked out documents. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Shannon Gessling. She's the executive director for the Southeastern Legal Foundation. Stay with us.
Think of it as actionable intelligence, the iSpy Radio Show.
And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, talking today about the EPA and their continuing dodging of FOIA requests. That's Freedom of Information Act requests. And today we're talking with Shannon Gessling, the Executive Director and Chief Legal Counsel for Southeastern Legal Foundation. In our opening segment, we had talked about the ruling in the landmark Legal Foundation's lawsuit against the EPA because the EPA was hiding documents. Prior to that ruling, the Southeastern Legal Foundation had filed their own case against EPA because EPA was also playing a game of hide the ball with them. So, Shannon, I want to go back to these documents that you guys had received where, in some cases, as much as 96% of the document contents was redacted. In that last segment, we talked about how the judge would do a side-by-side comparison of the original with the blacked-out version to see whether or not they needed to be blacked out. So what happens if the judge looks at that and says, you know, there was just no reason for you guys to black out this information, you're just being purposely spiteful? What can the judge do at that point?
Well, as you know, there's exceptions to disclosure. And so the judge has to look at the document and see what was blacked out to determine whether there was supposed to be disclosure or not. If there was the document was supposed to be disclosed to us in full or without the blackouts or redactions, then the judge will rule basically page by page and document by document that we're entitled to the document. And it doesn't have to be a bad intent. That's what's good for our case, Mark, is that we just have to prove that we have to demonstrate that there was no reason for the EPA not to give us the documents without all the blacking out. And then if the judge rules in our favor, we get those documents.
So during the break there, you had said that the EPA, that what you're essentially trying to do is you're trying to show the EPA's intent to obfuscate and hide information. And to slow you down. How do you actually prove that intent, though?
Well, that's a good question, because what we would potentially be able to do if the judge let us is to pursue a limited discovery in our case. And that would mean that we would have an opportunity to issue interrogatories, admissions, and potentially depose some of the agents, people working for the EPA, to determine whether they intentionally acted this way towards SLF. We believe that the case in D.C. demonstrates that the EPA was treating Southeastern Legal Foundation and me differently than, say, other organizations or other people. And we would like to be able to show that, not so much in terms of getting the documents, because we want the documents, but I think it's important, especially in this context, to demonstrate that this administration is, in fact, treating Americans, particular Americans, differently than other Americans. In other words, they're willing to disclose to some people, but not to others. And we just don't think that's right.
What are the steps for establishing that proof, though? I mean, do you use, say, for example, a statistical analysis of some sort that says, well, gee, when they are working with far left groups, they give them 96% of their documents versus conservatives, they only give them 25%.
Well, I mean, I think that is a great example of what we could use. We could use more direct evidence that is in the possession of the EPA. Showing that, we'll say, you know, how many Freedom of Information Act requests did you get from, and let's say we give 10 liberal organizations that we know filed, how much of the documents did you give to them? Did you do expedited review? Did you also give a fee waiver? And if they say for all of those organizations we did those things, and for Southeastern Legal Foundation asking for the same or similar documents, we didn't give a fee waiver, we didn't do expedited review, and we redacted 96%. That, to me, would demonstrate that they had an intent to give us less because of their view of our organization. And we just think that that is something important in the case. It is a collateral issue, but certainly one that has been lingering in our 6 years of trying to get these documents. And we believe that that's exactly what is occurring. And of course, you know, there's been a recent report about the government's new figures that were published earlier in the week about the amount of documents being redacted or blacked out and how much is not being provided. And, you know, we only received approximately 5,200 documents. I'm sorry, 5,200 pages, which was really a small amount of what we should have received. And that's why these substantial blackouts matter so much.
Yeah.
It's a little bitty amount. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a really interesting article there by the Associated Press talking about this, and we'll come back to that later on. But, you know, we had touched on this earlier that there was only been one person that has been brought up on these types of charges and disciplined. And in that case with Landmark, Judge Lamberth described the absurdity of the way the EPA handled these FOIA requests, including the fact that the judge has reasonable belief that the EPA flat out lied to him about how it went about searching for these documents. So why doesn't anyone ever go to jail for these kinds of things, especially if the judge believes that he's being lied to?
Well, you know, I think that is a great and fundamental question, because I think as a rule of law advocate, we're not for more laws. You know, we'd really like to see members of Congress go in and repeal some of the laws.
Sure.
In this particular context, we actually need Congress to correct a problem, and the problem that we have is that there's no teeth to FOIA.
Yeah.
For intentional wrongdoing, your worst case scenario as an employee of an agency who acts with intent to not disclose in direct violation of FOIA is having a referral over to the merit system by the judge, and the most that can happen to you is like a suspension without pay. And in the 40 years that FOIA has existed, only one person has ever been referred by one judge. So you're talking about thousands of FOIA requests over these years and only one person being referred. So there needs to be consequences for the bad or illegal behavior, illegal being acting contrary to the intent and plain language of FOIA as an employee of the government.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in that situation, the way you describe it, they're almost incentivized to break the law. All right, we do need to take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more on the EPA's game of document dodgeball with Shannon Gessling of the Southeastern Legal Foundation coming up right after this. And then including, we'll have some new revelations about Obama's claim to be the most transparent administration in history. And welcome back to the Ashby Radio Show, talking today to Shannon Gessling of the Southeastern Legal Foundation. She's their executive director and chief legal counsel, talking about these FOIA requests. And last week was Sunshine Week, celebrating government transparency. You know, famously, when he took office in 2009, Obama pledged to have the most transparent administration in history, which is a claim that he's repeated multiple times. Except the Associated Press just last week found that the Obama administration set a record again for withholding documents and censoring or even outright denying access. Just to read from the article real briefly here, quote, the government took longer to turn over files when it provided any, said more regularly that it couldn't find documents, and refused a record number of times to even turn over files quickly. That might be especially newsworthy. It also acknowledged in nearly one in three cases that its initial decisions to withhold or censor documents were improper under the law, but only when it was challenged. Shannon, I'm sure that this comes as no surprise to you.
This comes as absolutely no surprise. And the fact that this is administration-wide, all 100 federal agencies during 2014, it is reinforcing what Southeastern Legal Foundation experienced with this administration and has been experiencing for the last 6 years.
You know, it's just always so funny when I hear him say that, and knowing what you guys know and what you guys have experienced, and also so many of our other guests have experienced at the hand of this Obama administration, it is just laughable every time that he says that. But what's really especially laughable about that, I think, is the fact that, you know, he's made this claim repeatedly, that he is, in fact, the most transparent ever. And he'll say this with a completely straight face. But it turns out, according to that AP article, that the only way the White House can make that claim is when Obama administration uses their own specially invented analysis to arrive at the most transparent. The White House doesn't count times when, records just couldn't be found, a person refused to pay for copies, or when they determined that the request was improper under the law. So in other words, the only way that Obama can say with a straight face that he's the most transparent is to use special math and not actually include any of the denials.
Right. You know what's funny? As a fiscal conservative, this just popped out at me in that article, Mark. $28 million in attorney's fees to keep records secret. $28 million. And then, but when you read the paragraph you just read, which is one in three cases, the initial decisions were wrong, but they only disclosed when challenged. So you literally have to be in a position to not only ask for them, you have to be in a position to be able to challenge the denial and potentially litigate the denial before you get them. And all of that costs, $28 million for the administration. So $28 million for the askers. That's my approximation. $56 million to get what the people are entitled to get in the first place.
Well, and this idea of using their own form of calculations is I think that's so hilarious because, you know, if I go bowling and I only count the times I roll strikes, you know, I bet I could bowl a pretty decent game there, probably pretty close to 300, I imagine.
I would think every single time you would have a 300 if you only counted the strikes. I mean, that's not how statistics are done. That's not how you do an analysis. They're supposed to count all of the asks. I could understand if they took stuff out where somebody said, well, you know, I don't want to pay the fee. Maybe, but the question is, are you improperly failing to waive the fee, right?
Yeah.
Which, of course, is what we're experiencing. So there's a multitude of wrongs that are being committed by the administration, and it's unjustifiable. And frankly, I would not want to be a White House spokesperson that says, well, we have a lot to brag about. No, you don't.
Yeah. And then finally, what's funny in that AP article, too, is that using their own math, they only released it in 91% of requests, which is still a record low ever since he took office.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to get in the minds of the people doing the math for this administration, you know, this topic or any other, and I don't want to go off topic, but, you know, it's wrong. There are documents. It's what we consistently say. It should be different, and it shouldn't matter what administration, and our commentary, you, me, and everybody else, it would be the same regardless of the administration. I would be dissatisfied no matter who was in office if these kinds of numbers were disclosed or my organization was treated this way.
Yeah.
That's why we should all be working together to counter these types of abuses.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a break really early here because coming up, I'd like to talk to you about how they're destroying documents. And I think that's going to be quite a lengthy discussion there. So everyone stay with us. Have more with Shan Gessling of the Southeastern Legal Foundation talking about FOIA requests.
Stay informed. News, information, and all our past shows are available on iSpyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, talking today to Shannon Gessling of the Southeastern Legal Foundation. She is their executive director and chief legal counsel, and we've been talking about the FOIA requests, not only their case against the EPA, but also a recent ruling. And I'd actually like to read something from that recent judgment. This is the landmark decision, and of course, we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com so people can read it for themselves. But this is a quote, either EPA intentionally sought to evade Landmark's lawful FOIA request so the agency could destroy responsive documents, or the EPA demonstrated apathy and carelessness toward Landmark's request. So, but it seems to me that, you know, destroying documents used to be a pretty damning thing. But just how prevalent is this, would you suspect, in this administration, if they're out there actually destroying these things?
Right. That's one of our greatest fears, is that, you know, because we're asking for documents that they don't want to disclose, how do you prove that they're either being destroyed?
Yeah.
You know, or how do you demonstrate that? And that's what we talked about in one of the earlier segments, was, you know, you have to, you know, utilize discovery. But, you know, it also ties into what we talked about with the consequences. Well, you know, the Hillary Rodham Clinton email fiasco, for lack of a better description, puts a fine point on the importance of our agencies, employees, staff, contractors, whatever, that work for the federal government to follow the rules. I mean, the Associated Press had to file suit against the State Department to get the email. They're not, they haven't been disclosed yet, but you're talking about destroying that which doesn't belong to the individual doing the destruction. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. And the question is that what are the consequences that have been put in place, and are they sufficient? And what we talked about earlier, repeating, is that FOIA doesn't have proper teeth. There is no incentive to abide by the law. And there's every reason to avoid abiding by the law if you're going to disclose something that's either detrimental to the administration or you as an employee or your, you know, the administrator of your agency. That is not how FOIA is supposed to work. This is, you know, as we talked about, FOIA was created in specific response to Watergate. We go back in time. What do we not want? We do not want our government being able to have secrets from us, as long as we're not intruding on, you know, national security is one. Okay, fair enough. Otherwise, they're my documents, they're my emails, it's my government, I'm entitled to it, organize it and get it to me.
Well, how easy...
This is a fundamental problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, otherwise, you're just essentially devolving into lawlessness. I mean, how easy would you suspect it is that, say, a group of people, you know, they were discussing something they shouldn't have been, I mean, it's very illegal. How easy is it for them to go in and destroy documents and cover their tracks?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because it's a little harder than it seems. It's easy for us to say, oh, you delete it, right? Or you delete a text message on your phone. Well, we all know that's not true because it doesn't really ever get deleted, and there's programs that can pull it off your phone. The same thing holds true. I mean, what did we learn in the IRS scandal, right? Lois Lerner, we don't know where any of those emails are. Well, of course, there's a backup server. They exist there. All of the government systems are properly backed up, plus there's metadata, and people are thinking, oh, stop talking about that. But it's true. It is much harder than you think if it ever was created in electronic form. And so it's just a question of how long will it take to get it? Will it still be newsworthy? Will people still care about it? Will somebody be able to violate the law with impunity and have no consequences because it takes so long to fight about it? That's where I get concerned. So how long does Hillary Clinton get to lie? Well, until somebody can get into the system to get them out, right? That's the problem. The problem is, how long does it take before you think there's a problem for you to get proof of what was done? And will you have missed your window of opportunity to communicate to the public at large a very important issue?
Well, and along those same lines, let's say that they're just having meetings out in the hallway or whatever. I mean, that's not capturable. So in theory, if they want to really circumvent a lot of these requests and whatnot, it just means that they put less and less of it in either electronic form or on paper form. I mean, isn't that the way around this?
Well, yes, but they're not, Mark, you would be great as a spy, but you're not allowed to do that. The government has rules. In other words, you're not supposed to have meetings at, you know,
chilly, right? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to keep a calendar that isn't your work calendar. So when we see, when we make demands for calendars, for example, and there's blocks of time that don't match with vacation time, because, you know, every vacation that a every vacation day or time that an employee takes, they have to file a form. So if you ask for the vacation form in your discovery and it shows that person was working that day, but then it shows them out of the office that day, and then you can find out from another person's record keeping that they were at a meeting out of the office talking about work. That's the whole point. It's supposed to be recorded. You're working for the government. You don't get to do it in secret. So there are ways around it, but there are ways to prove that people are working around it. And then you get them into a deposition, and you get them to disclose, just like other organizations have done, and you get the information that way. But again, we come back to, it takes time.
Yeah.
So there need to be some fundamental administrative and penalties, administrative changes and penalties for actions that are contrary to the rule of law.
Well, and then also, I mean, because that sounds like a hugely arduous process for you guys to be able to have to compare people's calendars, when they're doing what and with whom and so on. I mean, that's got to be grueling to have to do that, like we were saying earlier. But it all comes back to, yes, they're not supposed to do this, but when they do, what happens? And so we're back to the issue of, okay, so now what?
That's right. And that's, you know, Southeastern Legal Foundation, unlike the average person who makes a request, I mean, we are prepared for the pushback. And so we file the appeals and we do all the work. But you're right. It takes a tremendous amount of time, energy, resources, and we hopefully we'll there'll be enough cases. There'll be enough cases that either SLF can bring or other organizations can bring and have the type of ruling or commentary made by Judge Lambert, which is, I find that you intentionally withheld. I find that you discriminatorily rejected or denied the fee waiver. I find that you discriminated against SLF because of their, you know, because of their leaning, you know, conservative, and you did not expedite the review and the disclosure. If we get judges who will be bold enough to make those findings, then you have, hopefully you create a wave, a motivation for Congress, because now you are the anecdote, right?
Yeah.
You are the story, and they would respond to that story and say, okay, what do we need to do to reform FOIA to correct the abuses?
Yeah, you know, let me interrupt you right there, and we'll come back on that, what we need to do to fix the system. Now everyone stay with us. We'll have more Shannon Gessling, Southeastern Legal Foundation. And thanks for staying with us. We're into our final segment now with Shannon Gessling of the Southeastern Legal Foundation. And we've been talking about FOIA and the EPA's constant dodging of those requests. And so we keep coming back to this notion, Shannon, of the law needs to have teeth. And I'm kind of reminded of the situation there with the IRS hearings, and Daryl Issa is trying to pursue Lois Lerner, and of course she's, you know, suddenly lost her hard drives, and these emails aren't recoverable. And it turns out that I think his name is Daryl Cummings. I could probably have his name wrong, but anyway, he's a committee member, and it turns out that he's actually working with Lois Lerner to hide information. And he's now he's still sitting on that committee. He hasn't, as far as I know, received any kind of sanctions. Daryl Issa himself seems handicapped in order to even punish somebody on his own committee. So how do we give this law some teeth?
Well, I think that's those are multiple questions. One is that if Lois Lerner was under oath before Congress, they can actually prosecute her criminally, which we know. It's a question of whether anybody will.
Yeah.
The next part is that do I think that there should be ethical consequences for anybody who is working towards hiding information? The answer is yes, and Congress needs to work on that internally. In terms of the context of FOIA, which I'm sure it combines Lois Lerner and the Hillary Rodham Clinton issues, which is I have no doubt that multiple organizations requested the information from Lois Lerner, the information that was not confidential or not protected, and she failed to turn it over, giving the same excuses that they gave, which is they couldn't find it. So then the issue is, how does FOIA get remedied? And I think, and I could be wrong, but hey, let me throw this out there. My gut response is simply have FOIA amended to have Congress say FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, is not a comprehensive remedial scheme. By doing so, it then allows any party who is asking for information under FOIA, who is treated in a discriminatory manner, to bring a discrimination case against the agency and to bring action, civil claims against the agency. Because you remember why the IRS cases couldn't go forward when the entities didn't get their 501c3 status. Now, remember why? Let me remind you. The answer is because the IRS code section was a comprehensive remedial scheme. It is only when a statute or statutes are not a comprehensive remedial scheme that you can bring these other causes of action. So what you want to do is you want to have it say, to counter the abuses, this is not a comprehensive remedial scheme, thus allowing people like Southeastern Legal Foundation to make additional discrimination or constitutional claims.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, basically what that means is any time that they were being denied systematically these types of requests, they could then file a civil lawsuit which would bring punitive damages. Is that correct?
That is correct, which is exactly the type of teeth you're talking about. And let's look at the number of words. Freedom of Information Act is not a comprehensive remedial scheme. I did it in 11 words. 11 words, and you have corrected the problem. And everybody should be on board with that fix, regardless of political affiliation, because you want to give people the opportunity to hold agencies accountable for misdeeds. And the only way you can win is if there is, in fact, a provable misdeed.
Well, so, but within that, though, it sounds like you're bringing the lawsuit against the agency, not against the individual actor. So in other words, I could be in there as an EPA official denying these FOIA requests. I never have to worry about being sued. It's the agency getting sued. So aren't we just putting the taxpayer on the hook rather than the individual person that's doing the bad acting?
Well, I could go over 11 words, Mark, and we could actually make it so that not only do we create a private right of action, but we also create a private right of action by the plaintiff against the individual in their individual capacity. Won't that just be a motivator to be forthright
Yes.
and follow the law?
Yes. Yes.
So then you sue the individual who denied your fee waiver. You get to sue the individual who redacted all the documents. Now, I think you're going to get some pushback. I'll play my own devil's advocate. But
yeah, that's where I was heading, so yeah.
These are the types of remedies we need to look at. We need to be clear about what the goals are. And if the goals are disclosure by every administration to every citizen, unless it is a clear exception for national security and a couple others, otherwise give over the documents, start storing the documents in a clear way, stop using your calendars, improperly. I mean, you need to give this teeth, and this is an important issue, and it should be an important issue for any elected official or candidate.
Well, absolutely. I think that is one of the things that has just been so frustrating watching the federal government and the state government is the fact that individuals never seem to lose their job over these kinds of things.
Right. Well, of course, the merit system creates a little bit of a hurdle to that, and I you can hear the sarcasm in my voice. Yes, these kinds of wrongs should have consequences. If you and I did it in our business lives,
sure,
we would be fired. Not enough people are fired for their bad behavior, and it's a shame because Judge Lamberth, when basically telling this tale in his decision and his commentary, turns it over to the administration. He basically says the executive branch needs to take responsibility, for these misdeeds. And he is right.
Yep.
But it is this administration that is, half the problem.
Yeah.
He's setting the tone for these agencies and these, staff members.
Absolutely. People need to have accountability. Otherwise, they won't act responsibly, I should say. Shannon, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark. It was my pleasure as well. I love talking about these issues with you all.
All right, thank you again. That was Shannon Gissling of the Southeastern League of Foundation. As always, we'll make sure that we put up links to their website at iSpyRadio.com. Just find today's show page, and you can follow links to them to find out some more about what they do. They are one of the few organizations that are out there really taking the fight to the EPA and to some of the overreach by these agencies. And it is high time that we put some teeth into this law, so be sure to check them out and support them in their efforts. Thank you for joining us today on the iSpy Radio Show. As always, remember that the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The iSpy Radio Show.